The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Our praises to Him. You know, it doesn't have to be this, but we are blessed to have our team. We're blessed to have Dave, and of course, Brenda makes everything happen. Brenda has things appear that, and I think about things happening, and Brenda all of a sudden has them done. That's a blessing. We're blessed with all our people here, EJ and Camille. Again, getting administrative things done and ministering to people. And Jim and Misty, they're off right now making divine connections, advancing the kingdom at a conference now. Of course, Eric and Debbie were on a conference, advancing the kingdom. What a blessing that is. And that really, it doesn't surprise me, that really ties into the message I'm going to bring today. So let's start that way. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity we have to come and share your word. Your word is true. Sanctify us by this word, Father. Your word is true. Lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit to apply your wisdom in our lives, Father, advancing your kingdom, and never forgetting the mercy that we're drenched in. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're talking about last time, talking about faith and being fully convinced. And you know, if, and of course, Case doesn't need to be talking the way he was talking. But you know, I can talk to Case and he can talk to me, and when I say something, he'll listen to me, right? He knows where he stands with me. Why? We have a relationship. That relationship has come over time and over situations, tough situations too, right? But he knows where he stands with me because we have a relationship. When you know where you stand with the person that you're in relationship with, you'll listen, you'll take in from what they say, right? Let's go to Romans 4. I'm reading now the NLT. Verse 1, Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation, the father. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was in right standing with God because he believed God. He knew where he stood with God. So we know the story of Abraham, you know. There were promises made to Abraham. And Abraham did everything just right all the time, right? No, read the story. First he lies about his wife because he's scared. Then he tries to figure out a way to do things and ended up birthing an Ishmael. And that led to things that we deal with even today, right? But God didn't hold that stuff against him, right? Abraham was made right with God because of believing God. It was by faith. When people work, this is verse 4, their wages are not a gift, but something that they've earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God, who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Verse 7, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Amen. You see, we're made right with God by believing in Jesus. Right? It's all about Jesus. And that standing with God enables us to be fully convinced. Right? Because that's who we are. Let's read 2 Corinthians. I'm going to set this up first. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to read 16 through 21. I'm in the New King James. Paul's writing. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him that way no longer. You know, he had already ascended, right? But we know Christ by his Spirit now, right? That's why we talk about being Spirit-led. I'm going to get there in a minute. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, okay, this is that's like the setup, ABCs of salvation, right? Has anybody ever heard this? You've heard this before? Well, praise God, I'm glad you have. To be made right with Christ, A, you would admit and acknowledge, I've sinned, I needed a Savior. B, you believe Jesus is that Savior. And C, you confess it with your mouth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart he rose from the dead, you will be saved. ABCs, right? Now you're made right with God. You're in right standing with God. You know where you stand. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, that's you. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. He did it. And he did it through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's who you are. You're in right standing with God now because of what Jesus did. And then he gives us the ministry of reconciliation, which is what Debbie and Eric were talking about. See, that was inside of them. Where does that ministry of reconciliation come? In the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? It's his ministry of reconciliation. Because you have the Spirit inside of you, you have that ministry inside of you, and it's always coming out. That's why people notice. And when you're led by the Spirit, you won't produce the lust of the flesh. You'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. My dad and I were talking. What is one of the fruit of the Spirit? Faithfulness. That's what I'm talking about. Faithfulness. Not faith. Faithfulness. A fruit of the Holy Spirit is not faith. You had to believe God, and then he gave you a measure of faith. Does that make sense? The thing we had to do was believe God. Then that put us in right standing with him. We believe Jesus. We believe he's our Savior. We believe that now in right standing. And then he gives us his Holy Spirit, right? And what happens when we walk in the Spirit? When we're Spirit-led, the fruit of faithfulness comes out of us. What's faithfulness? Being full of faith. I'm smart. I know words like that. Faithful means full of faith. See? I went to school. Raton High, baby. But understand now, how do I stay full of faith? How do I stay fully convinced? Fall in the Spirit of God, right? But it's not by my works. No, it's not. You ain't ever going to follow him by doing your works. You're going to follow him by hearing his Spirit inside of you and resting in that peace, right? That's the only way. And guys, I'm telling you, in this day when there's so many things clamoring for your attention, people are going to be moved by fear, which is a fleshy thing. Has anybody ever, you know, biology, the, you know, fight or flight, right? Fight or flight, you know, all the hormones start going, you know, biology, blah, 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 everything happens, right? You get freaked out. That's an animalistic, fleshy response, right? That is not a response of the Spirit. See, in the Spirit, it is fight or fight. It is fight or fight. That's your options. You're going to fight or you're going to fight. Because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. You're going to fight or fight. Even when you've done all, even when you're standing, you're fighting. I'm not backing up. There's no flight involved. I don't have any armor on my back. All my armor that's from God is on my front. And I'm full of faith because I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's where my mind has to be, because the fight is for your soul. He is the lover of my soul, because I make decisions in my soul. Am I going to respond to the fear that is in this world? And it's there. And let me tell you something. If it weren't scary, you wouldn't be afraid. Again, I'm smart, right? Guys, the stuff out there in this world is built by design to scare you, to instill fear in you, to get you to follow the flesh instead of the Spirit of God. I'm talking to believers here. But I'm telling you, believers, church, as we follow the Spirit, that ministry of reconciliation rises up in us. We are faith-filled. We are full of faith because the Spirit of God's inside of us. It's flowing out of us as that fruit, right? People notice. They notice. That peace, they notice. That joy, they notice. I know where I stand with God. See, I know where I stand. And because I stand in that position with God, not because I'm so good, he loves me just as much today as he did the day he called me. And I wasn't doing good things then, I can promise. It didn't have anything to do with what I did. It had everything to do with who I believed. And then that started everything. Because yes, he's going to make me a new creation. And I'm going to get better every day. But I'm not done cooking. I'm not. I'm not fully where I need to be. I find myself doing things. I thought I was more mature than that. Flesh rises up. Say something kind of curt. That's a word. To your wife. It's like, I shouldn't have said that. Not that way. Right? But catch yourself. Right? Right? And guys, it's in every aspect of our life. You see, and I'm not here to tell you what to do. I quit telling my kids what to do quite a while ago. I mean that. I have one of them that says, Dad, please just tell me what to do. So I ain't going to do it. I've raised you. I've trained you. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. Now you pray about it. I mean it. If I'm not going to tell my kids what to do, I'm not going to tell you what to do. That may not sound, well, that's not a very pastorly thing. Yes, it's exactly what I'm supposed to do. My job is to equip you for your work that God's called you to do. My job is to point you to the helper who's going to help you in your situation. Because here's the thing. Okay, let's make it real simple. Okay, I need someone to tell me what to do. We got Monty. I know things. Lived here a while. Got some gray in my beard. Yeah. I'll give you all my qualifications on the wall. Here they are. Or we can ask the Holy Spirit of God, who knows everything about everything and who created everything. Who are you going to ask? Now, am I going to encourage you? Am I going to pray for you? Am I going to show you what the Word says? Absolutely. Praise God, I'm going to do that. Encourage you. I'm going to love you through it because I know there's afflictions that will come upon you. I'm going to read that in a minute. But because you're in right standing with God, you do have the helper to lead you into the truth of your situation. Your situation. Your circumstance. Amen? And then there's power there. See, there's power there. That's where the power gets to be released in your life for your situation. In Psalms 5, verse 12, it says, "For you, Lord, will bless the righteous." Do you like that? I like being blessed. "With favor, you will surround him as with a shield." How many times have you heard me say, favor will surround you like a shield? I say that because I know it. You know how I know it? Because you're in right standing with God. Favor will surround you like a shield. You're his favorite. Amen? That's a good place to be. But you got to be full of faith and fully convinced to stand in that position. Well, follow the leading of the Spirit. You'll be full of faith. Psalm 34, verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Who's that? That's you. And his ears are open to their cry. He's hearing you. If you go down to verse 17, it says, the righteous cry out. We already know he hears you. And the Lord hears. And then what does he do? And delivers them out of all of their troubles. Let's go to verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We didn't like that. Count it all joy when various trials and tribulations come, for the testing of your faith produces patience. Allow patience to have its perfect work in you, that you be mature and lacking nothing. That's in James 1. I didn't give it to him. Why do you think I've memorized that verse? Just so that I can say it to you? I got to say it to myself. I've had to say it to myself for 25 years, and I got to keep saying it. There will be afflictions. There's an enemy coming against you. I was talking to my friend last night. He says, man, it seems like when I step out and say the word, like pressure comes against me. Yeah. There's an enemy. Doesn't want you pressing on. There's resistance. You know one thing I know about resistance? It produces strength. We are not spiritual sluggards. Remember from last week? We're not. Why? Because we exercise our spirit, our soul being sensitive to the spirit. That's a better way to say it. We exercise our soul man listening to the spirit of God so that we can be spirit-minded, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and now all of a sudden, boom, I'm full of faith. I'm full of faith. Mark 9? I'm going to have to go to it too. It's not even in my notes. Go to Mark 9. Verse 17. Let's read 17. Through 24. Can you do that? Mark, New King James is good. You're so good. You're awesome. 17. I didn't know I was going to preach it either. I had to find it too. Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought to you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they couldn't do it. Verse 19. And he answered me, he said, O faithless generation. Well, he'd been teaching them. How long shall I be with you? We just read Paul saying he's not there in the flesh anymore. Right? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Verse 20. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. Yeah, I bet it did. And he fell on the ground, and he wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. That's what the enemy does. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's what the Father's saying, right? If you can do anything. I suspect we've all had those moments. God, can you do something about this? Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe. If you can come into right standing on what I'm about to tell you. Then he says, all things are possible to him who believes. So whatever affliction you're going through, whatever struggle you're fighting right now, I'm pretty sure that little three-letter word all encompasses that. All things are possible to him who believes. Verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. And then what does he say? Help my unbelief. So he's saying, okay, you want me to do this? I'll choose to do this. I made a choice. Because let me tell you something, the soul, the choice comes way before the feeling. So many people have told me, okay, I'll do it. And they do it, and they look at me and say, I don't feel any different. Yeah, I'll point them to Hebrews 6. Faith and patience, you inherit the promise. But the thing is, he said it, I believe. And immediately doubt hit him hard, but he knew where to go for help. Help my unbelief. You see, do you know where to go for help? Because you're in right standing, I'm telling you where to go. You go to the helper who is inside of you. He's not just with you, he is in you. Wow, what an honor to have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us, leading us to the truth of this situation. So when you cry out and say, Lord, help my unbelief, help me, you're starting down a Spirit-led walk, and guess what he'll do? He'll fill you with faith. Wow, man. And then he'll point you to some scriptures, because you know what the Holy Spirit knows? Well, everything about everything. Right? He knows faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. That's what he knows. He'll point you to a scripture. He'll get you saying something out of your mouth because there's power in the spoken word. Case said it. Devin Eric said it. Power in the spoken word of God. You start declaring what God has said. There's power released. You're being led by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes out of you. You are full of faith. We are faith-filled people. That's who we are. Regardless of what we see with our eyes. Regardless of the affliction. You see, as he goes down, and the disciples are like, we should have been able to do that, huh? Well, he's like, well, yeah. But this one only would have left through prayer and fasting. What he's saying is, you're not going to know how to handle your situations unless you go to the one who knows everything about everything. See, he was teaching us something right there. When we go into a spiritual battle, we submit to God first. That means we get the help we need to know what to do. I don't just go in someplace and start rebuking things. I don't. In fact, I try to go into a situation saying, okay, God, you told me to go, I'll go. I'll talk about our prayer team. Boy, they're dynamite and so faith-filled. They even gave me the war cry of God. I can't say it. It's rock 'em, sock 'em. It's kind of rock a shock, amatz. I mean, rock 'em, sock 'em, right, Donna? But that's what it is. It's declaring what God's already welled up inside of you. It's a faith-filled response. Let it come out of your mouth. You don't have to say rock 'em, sock 'em, but you can. If you say it in faith, that'll work too. I mean, because you know what I love about God? He didn't say, you'll be in right standing with me, Monty, as you do everything right. Thank God, right? Because I didn't start by doing everything right. In fact, I pretty much was 100% doing everything wrong. But then he started leading me on a path of righteousness. He made me right before he led me on the path, too. That's something to remember. That kind of, it kind of sets you free. And it's in that freedom. Because with the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty, there's freedom. It's in that freedom, I don't have that oppression on me. And that oppression's out there in the world. Have you felt it? Yeah. But don't you want freedom? Freedom from, I mean, when I hear people tell me, well, I've been hurt in church. Don't raise your hand because everybody's hand's going to go up. Everybody's been hurt in church. You start putting people together, yeah, stuff happens, right? The church are people who have faith in Christ, who have the Holy Spirit inside of him. You're the church. We are the church. Now, as a fellowship, we come together. And as this fellowship, we want to love God, love people. Because love God is what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then what does he say? Then love your neighbor as yourself. See, I didn't make the rules. Thank God. I wouldn't know where to start. But he does. And he helps us. He helps us to do those two things. As we love God, we submit to him. We listen to what he says. And then he gives us that favor that surrounds us like a shield. I'm going to finish with the scripture. It's that Hebrews 6 I was just talking to you about. We read it last week, but this is a very important scripture. And we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. I almost had that scripture too. Hope as an anchor of my soul. That's in Hebrews 2. Great expectations anchors my mind, will, and emotions. Whole separate sermon. But man, that was speaking to me as we were praising. I need to expect God to do what he'll do. When I'm in right standing with him, my faith rises up and I start expecting him to do everything he said he would do. Because that's what hope is. I expect. I have great expectations. Different sermon. We'll do that one later. Verse 12. That you do not become sluggish. And it's a spiritual sluggishness. Remember, we defined it last week. He says, but imitate those who through faith and then patience inherit the promises. That's what everybody, you know, and I've preached this many times. People say, well, don't pray for patience. You know. Well, I will agree with that. Don't pray for patience. Money, we're supposed to pray for everything. Well, yeah, but you don't have to pray for patience. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. You follow the Spirit of God, you'll start walking in patience. Ha ha! You follow the Spirit of God, you'll be faith-filled. You follow the Spirit of God, you'll receive the promises of God. You see how that works? I didn't say anything against the scripture. All I did was rightly divide it by the Spirit of God. And that's how we have to do it. You know, because I could give you a bunch of rules. That's what religion does, right? Don't do all this stuff and you'll be in right standing. Do all this stuff, you'll be in right standing. Oh, wait a minute. What if you do the stuff you weren't supposed to do? Now where do I stand? That's not what God said. God said, have faith. Believe him. Believe what he says. Believe on Christ, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who seals us with his Holy Spirit, who is the helper, who will help me and lead me into all truth. Now I can walk out a life worth living. Amen. I can walk out an abundant life. I can walk out a life that will tell me when I need to pray and when to fast. When to go somewhere or don't go somewhere. You see, there's freedom in following the Spirit of God. There's power in following the Spirit of God. He's inside of us, leading us. He knows everything about everything. I'm not trying to shirk responsibility as your pastor. But I'm also not going to take on something that isn't mine to take. I can't do it. As much as I've tried to do the right thing when it wasn't the God thing, I failed every time, 100%. But even in my inadequacies, every time I did what God told me to do, he took care of it. Even when I messed it up bad, when I didn't know Genesis from Revelation. I don't know where any of those books are in the Bible. God was big enough to overcome any of that. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea.
lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Love will lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble.